Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming. I've still got a bit of a cold. I've got a very stuffed up nose, so hopefully you'll be able to hear me. It keeps running as well, so I'll try not to let it run too much during the talk. Today, I want to talk to you for 5 minutes about the elevator, although I am from England, where we say lift rather than elevator. So if I do occasionally say lift, I mean elevator, and vice versa. Hopefully you'll understand me. Okay, are you ready? Here we go. 5 minutes about the elevator in 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, elevators come from thousands of years ago, of course. People have always managed to pull weights using ropes. Original elevators would have groups of people pulling a rope over a log, or maybe an animal pulling a rope over a log, which would lift weights. Then the pulley, of course, was invented, and what the pulley does is it lets people pull more weight, basically. But still, those were hand-drawn elevators. Then a Russian man called Ivan Kublin, in about 1793, he invents something called the screwdrive elevator. What a screwdrive is, it's a motor with a screw going through it. And as the motor powers, it turns the screw. And this can move the motor up or down the static screw. So a screwdrive elevator was basically an elevator, a car fixed to a screw. And when you press the button, switch the engine on, you could make it go up or make it go down. Now that was the first kind of motorized elevator. Although the problem with screwdrives is they're only as powerful as the motor they use. If you want to lift more weight, you have to use a more powerful motor. Elevators don't really increase, don't really improve until the Industrial Revolution. Up until then, you don't really need elevators. After the Industrial Revolution, you suddenly have the need to lift large quantities of coal or wood or metal. You have to lift these in large quantities to the factories. So suddenly elevators become necessary, loading things onto ships, loading things off ships, moving things through factories. So the development of the elevator starts to take off. Now, in the beginning, of course, we have the steam elevator. This is basically like a modern elevator, but it's motorized by a steam engine. Now, that wasn't bad, but the steam cannot produce as much power as a modern electric engine could. So again, there, the elevator is limited by the power of its engine. Then a man called William Armstrong in 1846, he invents a hydraulic elevator. Hydraulic power is basically, you cannot compress liquid. You can compress a gas, but you cannot compress a liquid. So a hydraulic motor, a hydraulic system, pushes a hydraulic fluid into a pipe, which in turn pushes a piston up. And when you remove the fluid, the piston goes down. So to have the elevator, you push in the fluid, the elevator goes up, and you release the fluid and the elevator comes down. Now the problem with this, of course, is, again, it's only as powerful as the motor, but also to lift an elevator 10 floors, you have to have a piston that's 10 floors high. But to make it go down to the first floor, the piston must then go 10 floors down into the ground. So you have to dig a long shaft, a deep shaft into the ground, which is obviously a problem. 1850, the modern rope elevator is invented. 1852, Elisha Otis invents the safety elevator. This is a braking system. If the elevator rope breaks to stop the elevator plummeting to the ground, it has an automatic braking system. From here onwards, elevators improve. You get automatic doors, you get automatic stopping systems, you get basically modern elevators. However, people still do not trust elevators. People would not ride them on their own. Most department stores, any building with an elevator, had an elevator operator. This was a person who basically spent their entire day inside an elevator operating the buttons. These people were in existence until 1947 when they went on strike. And because they went on strike, people started using elevators on their own, and they began to use elevators. So these people basically struck themselves out of a job, unfortunately. 90 seconds. So there are some social impacts of the elevator, of course. Once we have the elevator in about 1870, well, then we get the development of high-rise buildings. Up until then, the highest building was about 7 floors, because, of course, you cannot walk higher than that. It takes too long to go up a higher building. But once you have elevators, buildings can start to go up. So cities stop spreading out and start growing up. Also, once the elevator was invented, the price of buildings changes. What do I mean by that? Right now, the most expensive apartment in an apartment block is obviously the top one, the penthouse suite. It has the best views. It's the quietest. But back before the elevator was invented, the most expensive room was the one on the ground floor, because nobody wanted to walk upstairs. So the ground floor was the most expensive and the top floor was the least expensive because of all the stairs. Once the elevator is invented, this flips over. Okay, oh, only a few more seconds. A few interesting things. Obviously, they have to test elevators. If you Google it, you can find pictures of elevator testing towers. These are huge towers, 400 or 500 meters high in the middle of nowhere. And what they do is, of course, they test all the elevators we ride. Recently, you can get double-decker elevators because one of the problems with elevators is... Sorry, I'm going to carry on anyway. One of the problems with elevators, of course, is that they fill up. So recently you get double-decker elevators, so they stop at floors 9 and 10 at the same time, and they fill on the bottom and at the top. They can carry more people. Another interesting thing is right now, when you're waiting for an elevator, of course, you have a row of numbers above the door, and a light moves to tell you where the elevator car currently is. If you're waiting on floor 3, and you can see it on 9, you can slowly see the number move down. Interestingly enough, people will wait longer if they know where the lift is than if they don't. If you have a wait time of 3 minutes, if there is no indication of where the elevator is, people will get angry, they will not wait. If you have the exact same 3 minute wait time, but you have an indication of where the elevator currently is and how fast it's moving, people will wait much longer. That kind of psychology is actually used by Disneyland in their queuing system. I have a video about that if you're interested, have a look later. Okay, elevator sky lobbies. Most skyscrapers have an elevator sky lobby about halfway up. Elevators are limited, of course, by the length of their rope, the length of their cable. The longer the cable, the heavier it is. And if a cable is too long, it becomes impossible to pull the weight up. So a very tall building would have a bank of elevators in the middle. You would ride one elevator halfway up, you would change elevators, and you would ride another elevator to the top floor. That recently has been changing, of course. The Burj Khalifa, the world's tallest building, currently has one elevator running from the ground to the top. It takes about 90 seconds to travel the whole 828 meters. That's become possible because recently they don't use steel anymore for these cables. They've started using carbon fiber. Carbon fiber has much more strength than steel and is far, far lighter. So you can have one cable reaching far up into the sky, basically. Another thing that is happening recently is AI elevators, artificial intelligence elevators. One of the biggest problems we have with elevators, of course, is they fill up. You're standing there, the door's open, it's full. Oh no, I have to catch the next one. AI elevators, when you're waiting, you swipe an ID card and you input the number of the floor you're going to. And the elevator will calculate how many people it's carrying, which floors it's going to, and it will tell you which elevator to catch. For example, if the elevator is going up fast, and it's most people are going to the floor, say floor 20, and you want to go to floor 10, the elevator will tell you to catch this elevator, not this elevator. The elevator will know how many people it's carrying, it will know where they're going, and it will use algorithms to calculate which is the best and fastest and most economical elevator for you to catch. These are very, very clever. These systems, of course, also know who is in the building. They know how many people have got on and off at which floors. So if there's an emergency, like the 9/11 disaster in America, the elevators can tell the fire service where people are, and the fire service know if they've saved everybody or not. Very, very clever elevators recently. And the last thing, space elevators. Not possible at the moment because we don't have a material strong enough to make a cable up into space, but in the future, possibly we will have space elevators. This will be enabled because centrifugal force will keep a weight at the end of the cable taut as it spins around the earth, and elevators will use climbing motors to go up and down, which would reduce the amount of money it costs to put things in space, which would make space exploration much easier. Whew. Thank you. I hope you understood that. I'm sorry, I went over my 5 minutes, probably by about 2 or 3 minutes. I'm very sorry about that. Anyway, if you liked this, click like, it's down there somewhere. There are questions, answers, and the script and the MP3. The link is down there in the description below. Please have a look. You can read this while you listen. You can also practice the questions. You can practice your reading and your writing. The more you practice, the better your English will get. I hope you've learned something about the elevator. I have lots of other videos about different topics. Have a look, see if you can learn something, and hopefully you will improve your English. If you want to get these videos whenever I make them, please subscribe. The subscription link is somewhere down there. It looks like my head. Thank you very much for listening. I will see you again next week. Goodbye.